Yeah, so this is kind of ad hoc because Dave just sort of roped me into it and I said okay and didn't really think about it any further. This is the Nokia N800. It's an internet tablet. It isn't a cell phone. It doesn't have GSM antennas. Engadget is lying and please don't ask. So basically, it lets you browse the web for your mobile and do voice and video calls, web style. And it's got, for connectivity, it's got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and doing GPRS over Bluetooth actually works quite competently. And it's running a TI, I have no idea what I'm doing here, running a TI OMAP processor, so it's extremely low power, and most of the relatively complicated stuff we do is in the area of power management. So we have stuff on there like Dyntic. I hope this isn't going to crash. Yeah, so we're using stuff like Dyntic to let the processor sleep extremely aggressively, and the ARM architecture has a, in the kernel, has a pretty decent clock framework that lets the drivers cooperate and be able to put as many things to sleep as we possibly can, as often as we can, because the use time on this when you're actively browsing is it 3 hours or six? 3 hours. We hope it's six. But I think it's actually 3 hours when you're actively using Wi-Fi, which isn't too bad for a relatively low power battery. So internally we've got a couple of interesting things. You don't get fun things like easily enumerable buses and, you know, devices which happily announce themselves in convenient ways. It's all quite hard-coded. So basically inside we have the bootloader does a lot of the setup, and it's the only part which has knowledge in pretty intricate detail of how the particular board is actually set up, because it varies. Oh my god. So stuff like which particular GPIO any chip's reset line is hooked up to or whatever, it all varies. So the bootloader passes it through to the kernel, and then we make use, pretty heavy use of the platform data part of the device drivers, so we can do all the machine-specific init in one particular set of board files, and then we just pass that through to the drivers, which don't need any ifdef N800 all through them. If you look through Arch ARM, and especially all of the sub-architectures, there are about a million different embedded or consumer boards, all with different and rather bizarre configurations. So yeah, it does a pretty good job of letting you actually write quite clean drivers and not having to have stellar hacks all through them, because you can deal with that all in the device-specific part and sort of keep the damages requested as possible. One of the, I work on the X server and all the display stuff, so that's what I'm most qualified to ramble at you about. So one of the interesting things we have is, and we had this in the Nokia 770 as well, is quite similar to what the OLPC folks have been talking about, and I believe they've just got theirs working, the external display controller. So we actually have a separate LCD controller to the main display controller on the OMAP, and this means that we can put large chunks of the OMAP to sleep while we're still scanning the LCD out, as well as many other secondary benefits. And that actually provides us an 800 by 480 display. So on this side, it turns out to be about 220 dpi, I think, which is fantastic for reading text and flicking through Wikipedia or the BBC or RSS feeds or whatever you want to do with it, I guess. Yeah, I think those are the most relevant parts. Aside from that, it's a pretty bog-standard Linux device. We've got our own bootloader and comes up with a relatively standard kernel. If you're using the Linux OMAP tree, the main OMAP development tree, then it's not very far diverged from that at all. And, user space, we just run the somewhat smaller cut down X server K drive. We've got our own one of those, which should be merged upstream at some point, I guess. And just running things like GTK, I believe we're going to start using Cairo soon. So the browser's Opera, it's all relatively standard desktop stuff. So it's not some bizarre proprietary stack which no one's heard of and isn't very good. Instead of their own. Does anyone have any questions or anything they want to know about it? How do we do text entry on it? You have either... Come on, pop up, will you? Yeah, you can either use the little virtual keyboard there and just punch stuff in with the stylus, or you can... there's a full-size finger keyboard that you can just enter stuff in with your finger. So it turns out to actually work reasonably well for IM when you're walking if you are phenomenally bored. Which happens a lot in Finland, as it turns out. You can also hook it up to a Bluetooth keyboard. We sell a wonderful Bluetooth keyboard, which you should buy, along with your N800, which you should also buy. And so you can just do, it's one of the sort of cut down phone jobs. So you can just use any of the Bluetooth keyboards. Anything else?
Yep.
We don't have enough power to do USB master. So on Internet Tablet Talk, there are various people who have taken their 770s apart and hacked together this incredibly ghetto box which does power injection. So you can use it as USB master stuff which needs powered USB. But you can toggle a special flag with our Linux flasher and sort of take your chances if you've got a USB device which doesn't need power from the host. Yes. We can actually do, so with the firmware as shipped in as on Nokia.com, it's pretty similar to the 770, except the video conversion isn't done by the DSP anymore. Sorry, the color space conversion is done by the GPU, not the DSP. I've showed it before as it stands with the code I've been working on and a couple of the other guys here. From SolidBoot, you can get, it's a 400 by 288 video originally, and you can scale that to full screen. So we can do arbitrary upscaling. If you try downscaling, the chip hangs. It's great. So we just sort of remove every nth line in software and then scale it up if we need to make up the differences. Yeah. But we can do that from MPEG-4 at 25 frames per second. So it's surprisingly quick now. And I think we'll be releasing that as a firmware update at some stage. I don't know when, sorry. Yes? Sorry? There are two full-size SD slots, but the kernel, as we've shipped, doesn't contain support for SDHC. So if you find non-SDHC cards, you can get 8 gig in two cards. And I don't know what our plans are for future stuff there. But yeah, 8 gig is the current limit, plus there's 128 meg of RAM and 128, I think, meg of flash on there. 256 meg of flash. So you've got a fair whack of room. No, the Canola guys haven't released a version for the N800 yet, but they're working on it. I haven't used it, but it looks very shiny. Anyone else? Yep.
What your experience in terms of the combined working in both open source and Mongo sort of environment? As you can add,
it's tough. What's the experience working combined in an open source way, also in a large company? I think the best I would like to say standing up here is that large companies are large companies, and sometimes it's tough. But we've got the kernel sources all out there, and I believe that's being queued for submission, and the X server as well. I've got it on my to-do list to push that upstream, and it's not one of the, like, all the wireless routers you see with just bizarre random hacks through the kernel. It is all done properly, and if it's not acceptable to Linux OMAP, then we'll go back and fix it until it is. So yeah, in general, it's pretty good. There's stuff like MIMO, which is the SDK we ship, and it's kind of OS independent, and there's a full app development SDK, and there's a community developed around that, but I honestly don't know a hell of a lot about MIMO, unfortunately. Yeah, that's about as much as I'd like to say standing up here. Anything else? Yes. It is not. It's a custom bootloader that we developed. There's a bootloader and a Linux flasher, and also a Windows flasher that we developed in-house, and those aren't open source. In general, the policy is something like, we'll open source all of the bits that we can, because it's not an engineering decision. We open source all of the bits that we can for the lower end of the stack. So the kernel, the X server, the toolkit, all of those are developed quite closely with upstream, and we push as much as we can, but most of the UI touches are proprietary. So the email app is closed at the moment, and the art, we're not going to let people redistribute. That's the policy as I understand it. Don't quote me. Yes? I'm not going there, sorry. It's not my decision. I don't know why it was made, and I don't know what's happening. The question being, why Opera rather than Mozilla? I honestly don't know. Yeah, that's true. Can't win them all. Okay, that's it. Thank you.